Gracious and holy God, this morning may the words of my mouth, indeed may the meditation of all our hearts, be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. This time and the time of our society, it's unlike any other. People communicate every day without ever actually having to speak face to face. News breaks around the world literally in seconds. Our favorite TV shows, well, they can be watched now at our own convenience. We are, at the same time, both people of great connection and also people of isolation. And the question for us is, as Christians, how is it that we view our faith and live it out in today's culture? Pastor and author Adam Thomas tackled that very question in his writing, Digital Disciple, and his book really helped me to sort of form the question of how to live life, a real life of faith, in the setting of technology, particularly social media, calling it the virtual world. And I've drawn heavily from his work for this series. And today I want to lay the groundwork for the series that is to come. It begins today, then we skip next week because next week is our Harvey Remembrance service, so I hope that you'll be back for that service. And then it picks back up and will go the whole month of September. And I encourage you to return every single week of this series as we tackle issues like remote intimacy, outsourcing the mind, WWJT, what would Jesus tweet? And living slowly in an instant world. And then, as a part of all that, on Tuesday, September the 11th, from 7 to 9 in the evening, we'll be hosting a screening of an award-winning documentary titled Screenagers, Growing Up in the Digital Age. And it's a documentary about the biggest parenting issue of our time, teen struggles over social media, video games, and internet addiction. This film has been featured on PBS's NewsHour, Good Morning America, The Dr. Oz Show, and more, and is a must-see for parents, for grandparents, for teens, and for older children. You can read more about it on our webpage if you just go to our homepage, and you can also register right from that page. There is a cost. It's $5 a person because we are just a showing site for this film. We owe that to them to show the film. And we agreed to host it here because we want our kids, we want our community to be informed and ready to make good decisions when it comes to this virtual world where we spend so much of our time. So I hope you'll come to that as well on Tuesday, September 11th in the evening and invite others. The internet, you know, it continues to change the way that we communicate and the way that we connect with each other. The opportunities that we have through the internet and the dangers in the internet, they are increasingly intertwined. And a trouble is that just the sheer speed of innovation as it is happening before our eyes can keep us from just pausing and taking a breath and taking a hard look at technology's effects on our lives. For example, some fun facts. 100 years ago, people dashed and dotted with telegraph, and they wrote long correspondence in perfect cursive writing. 80 years ago, you probably shared a phone line with a half a dozen neighbors and sat in front of the radio in the evenings. 50 years ago, you probably had your own telephone numbers and TVs. 30 years ago, mobile phones and personal computers began that big boxy stage of their evolution. In the late 80s, We had our first personal computer, and it had these amazing floppy disks that, you know, I don't know, held 46 megabytes or so of data. How could we ever fill that up? In the early 90s, we invested in our first mobile phone, but it didn't look like anything like our phones today. It was this big bag phone that sat down in the console of the car, and it was to be used only for road emergencies. 20 years ago, you had to sit and wait in front of your computer for an agonizing 45 seconds. As the computer made these fuzzy R2-D2 kind of an impression while trying to dial up a connection on the internet. 15 years ago, cable modems tripled the connection speed. And today, we expect and get generally instant connections through broadband. Last week, we were without internet for a couple of days here at the church. And we realize how absolutely, completely dependent we've grown on fast and secure and reliable internet. And if you're here this morning and you were born in the generations after 1982, you have never known a world without the internet. Most of us here today either have or have access to a mobile phone. And most of us, we use it for everything that we need to be connected, not just, and for many people, not even primarily for making phone calls. I count on my phone GPS to get me where it is I want to go. I check the news. I look at Facebook and Twitter. I can stream music from Amazon or Spotify. I can stream movies or YouTube videos. I use Google to look up most anything I want to know. And some of you just tell Alexa what you want, and a magic voice makes it happen. We are connected in a new way to family and friends and old high school buddies and people that we barely even know. And yet, for many, we also experience isolation in a real way. As we substitute our virtual world of instant online connections for actual face-to-face conversations and community. The same technology that allows us to stay in touch with people that we care about, to meet new people online that go on to become great friends or marriage partners, and to see news literally happen right before our eyes. Those same connections bring the risk of online scams, of bullying, of fake news, of identity theft, and so much more. And we can get so addicted to checking our phone. I read it on the internet, so it's got to be true, right? That Americans check our phones about every 8 minutes. We get so addicted to that that it can impair our driving. It can impair our walking. Yes, walking while texting, very bad idea. It can also impair our own communication skills. And it can even impair our relationship with God. We can live so much in our virtual world that we fail to attend to the real world and to the presence of God right here around us. We may have hundreds of friends online, and yet have no one to call when we are alone in our moments of deepest grief or worries. We look at other people's Facebook pages and compare our own lives to those perfect lives that we see out there in Facebook land and feel like a failure. We receive, or God forbid, we throw out taunts and disparaging comments on Twitter or Instagram or Facebook, and ignore the impact that our words have on someone else's spirit and the fact that we can never completely erase those hurtful words. So how is it that we can live real lives as followers of Christ in this virtual world? What place does prayer have in our instantaneous, tech-driven world? How can we continue the tradition of the personal nature of the ministry of Jesus in lives that are increasingly siphoned off into the remote, disembodied virtual space? 1 Thessalonians, the book, the letter that the scripture this morning came from, it is widely accepted as the earliest surviving Christian writing. It was penned even before the Gospels were written down, even before all of Paul's other writings. Today's scripture is part of the oldest known communication of Christian history. And it has lasted through the centuries because it went viral in the first and the second centuries. Even though it was written over 1,900 years before the internet, as so happens with Scripture, so often happens with Scripture, it can provide us with a cogent and a timely guidance for living real lives of faith in this virtual world. So let's go to the scripture. Paul writes in the first, don't suppress the Spirit. That same Spirit who hovered over creation in Genesis chapter 1, the same Spirit who fell on the believers at Pentecost in Acts chapter 2, that same Spirit that Jesus sends to guide us in all truth in John chapter 16. Don't set limits on how the Spirit can speak to us today. God's Holy Spirit blows where it blows, including the internet. And we need to pay attention. Paul writes, don't brush off Spirit-inspired messages. So even while we see the Spirit at work in the new and in the new technology, don't blow off those trusted and old messages that we find in the prophets and in the writers of Scripture and in other inspired writers, those things that have so far guided your life. Paul writes, to examine everything carefully and hang on to what is good and avoid every kind of evil. Those are critical words, I think, in our use of technology and social media. Because there is a great deal of good in the virtual world, but there are many dangers as well. And so it is that we're admonished to examine carefully, to learn the good and to hang on to that, and to learn the evil and avoid it. And then Paul writes, now may the God of peace himself cause you to be completely dedicated to him, and may your spirit, soul, and body be kept intact and blameless at the Lord Jesus Christ coming. As children of God, we are, friends, an integrated whole, spirit, body, soul. And Paul prays that all parts of us be kept sound. You see, for the first time in history, technology gives us the ability to outsource parts of ourselves. It lets us spend our lives in a virtual world that we could never, ever fully inhabit. We're called to remember and to claim all the parts of ourselves as belonging to God and able to be kept by God's Spirit. And finally, Paul writes, the one who is calling you is faithful and will do this. You see, no matter what technology is, no matter how advanced that we become in it, there are things that only God can do. And holding our spirit and soul and body together as followers of Jesus in the real and in the virtual world, God is faithful. God is present. God is higher than any technology and can be trusted as we turn to God. And God keeps us. So friends, as we begin a new school year, as we begin this sermon series on technology, as we navigate our lives as followers of Jesus in this current world of technology and instant news and social media, let us, friends, choose to bring our faith into that virtual world and to allow God's Spirit to guide our posts, our friendships, and our steps in the virtual world. And now indeed, may the God of peace himself cause you to be completely dedicated to him. And may your spirit, soul, and body be kept intact and blameless at the Lord Jesus Christ's coming. And remember, the one who is calling you is faithful and will do this. Praise be to God. Amen.